I was just looking for a quick snack run that night. The exams were killing me, and I needed a short break, so I went to the nearby convenience store. The fluorescent lights flickered slightly as I walked down the aisles, my cart rattling with the basics: instant noodles, a few energy drinks, and gums. I turned into the chips aisle, scanning for my favorite, Pringles. That's when I saw the crazy girl. She stood there, disheveled and jittery, her hair a tangled mess, wearing a skimpy, worn-out one-piece. Her eyes were wide, almost manic, darting around from left to right. She was muttering to herself, a strange, repetitive chant.
Gotta get some Pringles. Gotta get some Pringles. Gotta get some Pringles.
She said it over and over, her voice rising and falling in pitch, sometimes whispering, sometimes nearly shouting. I tried to ignore her, but it was hard not to feel uneasy. Her presence was unsettling, a sense of crazy shooting from her. I cautiously reached for a can of Pringles, thinking maybe it would calm her down if she saw that I wasn't interested in taking all of them. As soon as my fingers wrapped around the can, her eyes locked onto mine. For a moment, time seemed to freeze. Her chant stopped abruptly, and silence filled the aisle. Seconds passed, and then dread set in when I realized that she wasn't even blinking. Then she lunged at me, her hands clawing at my face. I stumbled back. The Pringles can flew from my hands. She screeched, a sound that was more animal than human, and then dug her nails across my cheek, drawing blood. I don't know what had happened, but I was just paralyzed by her sudden outburst. I grabbed a nearby shelf, trying to steady myself, but she was relentless. "What the hell? Get off me!" I tried to push her away, but she was stronger than she looked. She grabbed a bag of chips and swung it at my head. The bag burst open, chips flying everywhere. But she didn't stop and started throwing more. She grabbed another and another, pummeling me with each one. I was still confused as what to do. The aisle was deserted as well, so there was no one around. In a desperate attempt to defend myself, I grabbed a jar of salsa from the shelf and smashed it against her hands. She screamed in pain, but she didn't back down. She picked up a metal shelf bracket that had fallen loose and swung it at me. I felt a sharp pain in my arm as it connected, and I knew I was bleeding.
"Help! Someone help!"
I backed up against the shelves, looking for anything I could use to defend myself. My hand found a can of soup, and I hurled it at her. It hit her square in the chest, knocking her back just enough for me to make a run for it. I stumbled down the aisle, my vision blurry, blood dripping from my arm and face. I could hear her behind me, her footsteps erratic, her voice a high-pitched wail.
"Gotta get some Pringles!"
I turned a corner, nearly slipping on the tiled floor. Ahead of me, I saw the store security guard rushing towards us, his face a mix of confusion and determination. He tackled her just as she was about to reach me, bringing her down to the floor. She fought him, screaming and thrashing, but he managed to pin her down.
"It's okay, I got her."
Two store boys also came running in and helped in pinning the woman down. She screamed at the top of her lungs, shaking her body and tossing all over the floor. I collapsed against a shelf, my breath coming in ragged gasps. My entire body ached, and I could feel the warm trickle of blood down my face and arm. Other shoppers had gathered, their eyes wide with shock. The police arrived quickly, and paramedics soon followed. They took her away in cuffs while she still screamed the same thing.
"Gotta get some Pringles!"
As they patched me up, I could hear the murmurs around me, people speculating about who she was and why she'd attacked me. "I don't understand. She just snapped." The next morning, it was all over the news. They described her as a local drug addict with a history of mental illness. She was apparently under the influence and hadn't eaten in 3 days. In her high, she had entered the store and got lost between the aisles, just remembering to eat Pringles. Gotta tell you the truth, lots of crazies around in the world right now. My friends and I were obsessed with the occult back in school. We spent countless nights hunched over dusty books of satanic cults we could get our hands on the web, seeking the thrill. It was Jimmy who discovered the bizarre fact about the founder of Pringles, whose ashes were buried in a Pringles can. To us kids trying to avoid homework sounded like the perfect setup for a seance. One Friday night, we gathered in Jimmy's basement when his parents were out. The place was dimly lit by flickering candles, the air thick with the scent of incense. An old Ouija board lay on the floor between us, next to a can of Pringles. The ritual was Jimmy's idea. He claimed he found it in an ancient grimoire online. We each took turns eating a Pringle, then placed the can in the center of our circle. We joined hands, the atmosphere electric with anticipation.
Spirits of the beyond, we summon thee. We seek the spirit of Frederick Bauer, creator of Pringles. Reveal yourself to us.
His voice echoed through the basement. For a moment, nothing happened. We had tried these online rituals before, and they were usually a hogwash. But just as I was about to laugh it off, a chill ran down my spine. The candle flames flickered violently, casting twisted shadows on the wall.
Frederick Bauer, show yourself!
The Ouija board's planchette began to move, spelling out words we couldn't understand. The temperature suddenly dropped, and a low, guttural growl filled the room. Suddenly, the Pringles can toppled over, rolling towards me as if pushed by an unseen hand.
Guys, this doesn't feel right.
Before I could finish, the lights went out. The basement was plunged into darkness. The only sound, our panicked breathing. Then, the haunting began. The first instance was subtle. We heard whispers, incomprehensible and eerie, echoing through the basement. At first, we thought it was just our imaginations, but when the whispers turned into wailing of a woman, we knew something was horribly wrong.
We need to end this now!
He tried to close the seance, but the Ouija board wouldn't cooperate. The planchette moved on its own, spelling out no over and over. Suddenly, Jimmy was thrown across the room, his body slamming into the wall with a sickening thud. He groaned, struggling to stand. As we ran for the door, the basement door slammed shut. An invisible force yanked at my hair, pulling me all the way down the stairs back into the basement. I screamed, clawing at the air, but there was nothing to fight against. Jimmy and Sarah grabbed me, pulling me back, but the force was relentless. My scalp burned as clumps of hair were ripped out. Suddenly, Sarah's arm was twisted at an unnatural angle, bones cracking under the pressure of an unseen grip. She cried out in pain, tears streaming down her face. We watched in horror as dark bruises formed on her skin.
We need to get out of here!
We scrambled towards the basement door again, but it wouldn't budge. The candles reignited on their own, their flames turning blue. Slowly, we saw 4 to 5 shadows walking across and slowly merging into a dark, humanoid figure, its eyes glowing white. It lunged at us, passing through Jimmy's body. He convulsed, his eyes rolling back as the spirit seemed to possess him.
You cannot escape.
His voice was a horrible blend of his and the spirit's, deep and distorted. He grabbed Sarah by the throat, lifting her off the ground. I tackled him, breaking his grip, but the spirit was still inside him, fighting back with inhuman strength. In the chaos, Sarah found a discarded crucifix among the occult items. She held it up, chanting a prayer through sobs. Strangely, it worked. The spirit recoiled, and Jimmy collapsed, the dark figure coming out and dissipating into the air. The three of us rushed to the door again, and this time it opened. We managed to drag Jimmy to his dad's car, tying him to the seat with the seatbelt. Something told us that it wasn't safe to be in the house. Jimmy was still thrashing and screaming, the spirit's influence still lingering, but he finally calmed down after some time. Exhausted and terrified, we slumped in the car. None of us even knew how to drive, and we didn't think any neighbors would believe us, so we just kept to ourselves. The three of us got some sleep till Jimmy's dad knocked on the window to wake us up early next morning. We got out and dropped some excuse, but Sarah glanced at the back seat and froze. The can of Pringles from our ceremony was lying there. I'd been into the industry as a model for about 2 years and didn't really have many friends. I had few work friends, or the ones I would meet on shoots after months. Since I'm an introvert, I find it especially hard. So when Josephine invited me for a road trip with her modeling friends, I said yes. Josephine was one of the hottest things in the industry. Affairs with a late-night show host, hooking up with millionaires, posh brands. She had it all. Of course, I wanted to be friends with her. She picked me along with her friend Melanie and Claire, and we left for a road trip to Joshua Tree to escape the mundane and indulge in magic mushrooms. We only stopped once to fill gas. I bought a can of Pringles and some beer before we were on our way. After only about an hour of reaching Joshua Tree, we started tripping. Beyond the initial euphoria, the world around me suddenly morphed into a kaleidoscope of vibrant colors and shapes. Everything was magical. My hands were suddenly fluffier. Melanie's voice suddenly started sounding like that of a man, and Josephine's eyes went red while she started swinging her body like a pendulum while standing. It was fun, until the munchies hit us like a freight train. Josephine rummaged through our supplies only to discover that our snacks were missing. We looked as well, but all that I could see were vibrant red skies and waves in the distance, which were getting bigger. Panic set in as we realized that the only thing left was a single can of Pringles in the car. It wasn't enough.
Josephine? Where did you put the snacks?
Josephine's eyes widened, her pupils dilated. She stared at me blankly, and I could see her grip on reality slipping.
I thought you had them, Adele.
A wave of annoyance surged through me. My voice took on an accusatory edge.
You were in charge of the snacks.
The tension in the air thickened. Melanie and Claire sat quietly, their eyes darting between Josephine and me, sensing the brewing storm. Josephine's face twisted in a mix of hallucinations and anger. The drugs had heightened all of our emotions, and I could see Josephine's mental stability teetering on the edge.
Don't blame this on me. Like, you're always so perfect. Adele, so damn perfect. What are you even talking about? They're picking you for the Gucci campaign, bitch. Tony thinks I lost the X Factor. Can you imagine? Dropping me, a literal legend. For you. Bitch, you can't even model.
Before I could react, she suddenly lunged at me. She snatched the can of Pringles, her eyes wild, and started bashing it against my head. I fell to the ground, dazed.
Get off me, you lunatic!
The desert spun around me, my vision blurring. I could hear Melanie and Claire shouting, but their voices seemed distant, like echoes in a canyon. Josephine continued her assault, her hands clawing at my face. I felt her nails dig into my skin, ripping and tearing. Blood ran down my cheeks, mixing with my tears.
Stop! Josephine, please!
But she was lost in her own world, her actions fueled by a dangerous mix of drugs and latent rage. As I struggled, the world shifted. My hallucinations morphed Josephine's face into that of a Pringles mascot, a twisted caricature grinning down at me with malevolent glee.
No, no, this isn't real.
But the pain was real. The terror was real. I fought back, trying to push her off, but she was relentless. She grabbed a rock, raising it high above her head. I closed my eyes, bracing for the impact. In a surge of adrenaline, Melanie and Claire managed to pull her off me. I gasped for air, my body trembling. They dragged her to the car, shoving her inside. Josephine screamed and thrashed, but they managed to tie her to the seatbelt, securing her in place.
Adele? Are you okay?
I nodded weakly, my head throbbing, my vision still hazy. Blood dripped from the wounds on my face.
We need to wait until she calms down.
We sat in silence, the only sound Josephine's ragged breathing and the distant call of coyotes. Slowly, the effects of the drugs began to wear off. Josephine slumped in the seat.
The mushrooms must have triggered something in her. We need to get help.
The desert, which had seemed so enchanting hours before, now felt ominous and foreboding. I knew that I had to see a doctor soon, praying that Josephine's attack wouldn't leave scarring on my face. That is when my eyes fell on the seat next to Josephine. There, partially hidden under a blanket, was the bag of snacks we had been searching for. A tear escaped my eye as I got in the car and we left.